again, we'd like to turn to the book of John, chapter 11. Read the first five verses. John chapter 11. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Again, in the first 44 verses, we have a very moving account of the sickness, the death, and the burial of the child of God by the name of Lazarus. We also read of the heavy burden of his two sisters, Martha and Mary. And in these verses, we also read of the marvelous love of Christ, the miraculous life-giving, life-restoring, loosing power of Christ. The setting of the account, of course, is one of sickness and death and tremendous sorrow. In the account, there are four characters. There's Jesus, and he is the main character. There are the two sisters, Martha and Mary. And then, of course, there is their brother, Lazarus. Again, the main character is Jesus Christ. He's the one in whom everything in this chapter centers upon. He is the reason for the hope that is found in this chapter. He is the reason for the encouragement that is found here. He is the reason for the comfort. He is the reason for the victory that we read of here. And he is the reason for the miraculous that took place in this account. We want to speak tonight on the blessings of Christ's love in the trials of life. We see the nucleus or the foundation of the entire account is the love of Jesus Christ. And we're told of that here in these first five verses. Notice verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. That is a declaration of the love of Christ for three particular saints of God. Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. It is a truly amazing statement, declaration. Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, like all of us, were sinners. They were unworthy in and of themselves. Yet, Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. They were different. They were different in temperament and personality. We certainly see this in the accounts that we have of Martha and Mary. So they weren't the same. They had different temperament. They had different personality. Yet Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. This is something so amazing that it is beyond human description. They are words of unspeakable joy. And again, it's really the main thought of the text. It's the main thought of what we read here in John chapter 11. It's the main feature of what we read here in John chapter 11. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. That is, Jesus, God Himself, veiled in human flesh, the Creator, the Sustainer, the Owner, and the Possessor of all, loved these three individuals. Jesus Christ, who is eternal, immortal, immutable, omnipotent, holy, spotless, and pure, loved Martha, loved Mary, and loved Lazarus. This is no ordinary statement, and this is no ordinary love. We hear Jesus say in John 15 and verse 9, one of the most amazing statements in all the Word of God, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you." That is a truly remarkable statement. That is something that is beyond comprehension. It is something that ought to fill us with gratitude. We can understand the Father loving Jesus Christ, the Son. But you want to talk about grace? I have loved you as the Father hath loved me. That's beyond what you and I can comprehend. This is a love as great as Himself. We cannot describe the greatness of Jesus Christ fully. And this love that He had for Martha and Mary and Lazarus, and the love He has for us, is as great as Himself. It's as eternal as He is. It has no beginning. It has no end. It's infinite. It's immutable. That is, it never changes. It's always the same. It's invincible. That is, nothing can conquer this love. Nothing can do away with this love. Nothing in us. There's no power in our enemies that can do away with this love. It's incomparable love. It's one-of-a-kind love. It's unparalleled love. There's no love that you can compare. We read in Ephesians 3, verses 18 and 19, that this love has a width, a length, and a depth, and a height that passeth knowledge. The love of Christ, and no matter which way you measure it, no matter how you consider it, it is a love that passeth knowledge. In other words, it is a love that goes beyond human knowledge. Goes beyond human imagination. Goes beyond human language. It goes beyond human description. It is a love that is so extensive, so absolute, so strong, so committed, that it passeth understanding. And we read here in verse 5 that Jesus loved Martha just as the Father loved Him. And He loved Mary just as the Father loved Him. And He loved Lazarus just as the Father loved Him. And so it is with you and I. It speaks of the power of His love. It speaks of the fervency of His love. The compassion, the long-suffering, the mercy, and the grace that is involved in this love. Christ's love for Martha and Mary and Lazarus is declared here in verse 5. And His love for you and I that are saved is openly declared throughout the Word of God and openly declared throughout our lives. We see there is also, not only is there a declaration of Christ's love, there is also a declaration concerning a trial in the lives of those loved by Christ. The account opens in verse 1. A certain man was sick, named Lazarus, the same one that Jesus loved. He's now sick. It is stated in verse 2, Lazarus was sick. And again in verse 3, he whom thou lovest is sick. Referred to by Christ in verse 4 as this sickness, and in verse 6, he was sick. So we have the love of Christ, and we have this one who is loved by Christ. He is sick. This reveals that Christ's love does not prevent his loved ones from being sick. His love did not prevent the sickness from entering into the body of Lazarus. Could he have? Most certainly. Did he? No. He loved Lazarus. But he allowed this. Did not he have control? Does not God have control over the sickness? Certainly he does. And he allowed the sickness to enter into the body of Lazarus. Nor did the sickness of Lazarus call into question Christ's love for him. You and I that are loved by the Lord, any sickness that comes upon us should not call into question the love of Christ. We should never call into question the love of Christ. The sickness of Lazarus did not cast any shadow upon the love of Jesus Christ. But we can be sure of this, that all through the sickness, Jesus loved Lazarus. Did not prevent him from getting sick. But all through the sickness, Jesus loved Lazarus. The fact is, Lazarus was so sick that he died. But through it all, there was Christ's love. His love was there through the sickness of Lazarus. His love was there as Lazarus drew his last breath. None of this cast a shadow upon this fact that Jesus Christ loved Lazarus. We're also told that Jesus loved Martha and her sister. Yet his love for them did not prevent their loved one from being sick. So sick that he died. The sickness and death of Lazarus was a time of pain for Martha and Mary. Anyone who has experienced the sickness and death of a loved one knows that it is a time of pain and affliction. This was a time of pain and affliction for Martha and Mary. And no doubt, while Martha and Mary ministered to their brother in his sickness, and upon his death, it was a time of tremendous heartache and burden of soul. And there was a sense of helplessness, as there always is in those cases. But none of that cast a shadow or a cloud of doubt upon this fact that Jesus loved Martha And Jesus loved her sister, Mary. So even those that Jesus loves become sick. Those whom Jesus loves suffer, watching loved ones in their sickness and death. So from all of this, we see that the sickness, the pain, the affliction, the heartache, the burden, the sorrow, and the weeping are not separate and apart from the love of Christ. That is something that will benefit us greatly if we get a hold of it. Our sufferings are not apart from the love that Jesus Christ has for us. For you and I that are saved, our lives ought to be lived mindful of Christ's love. Mindful that He loves me. Now Martha and Mary had sent word to Christ concerning their brother. He whom thou lovest is sick. And the hours passed, and a couple days passed, and Jesus was not come. Lazarus died, and Jesus was not come. They buried Lazarus, and Jesus was not come. 4 days passed after the burial of Lazarus, and Jesus did not come. But none of that is separate and apart from His love for them. It never is. Whether you and I understand what is going on or not, we do need to grasp this. That whatever it is not separate and apart from His love for us. You see, this truth still stood. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. The sickness, the death, the funeral, all the sorrow, and all the burden involved in these things did not change His love for them. Sufferings will come, but Christ's love remains the same. It still stands. Consider His love in their trial. In verse 4, it is revealed that everything, it is revealed to the disciples of Christ that everything that was going to happen and everything that Jesus was doing, He was doing for the glory of God. And He would later say that He was doing it for their sake, for their well-being. That's true. The Lord, in His love for us, does not send, does not permit sickness and affliction. He doesn't send them to simply destroy us. He sends them to help us. This sickness would help Lazarus. This sickness would help Martha and Mary. And this sickness would result in the glory of the Lord. The Lord, in His love for us, does not send sickness upon our loved ones just to cause you and I grief and sorrow. But He sends it upon our loved ones to help us and to draw us closer to Him. He may send sickness and affliction upon our loved ones to help others believe. Notice verse 14 and 15. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes, Lazarus is dead and I'm glad, is what he's saying. I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. So he calls this sickness of Lazarus and the death of Lazarus to help others believe. There's no need for you and I to try and figure out why the Lord sends or permits sickness to come upon individuals. The Lord has many reasons. Number one, it's always for His glory. We see also that it could be to help someone that you don't even know believe. You just can't figure it out. But be sure of this. Whatever the reason, there is the love of Christ through it all. Now notice verse 6. When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Keep that in the context of Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. What we see in verse 6 is, out of love, Jesus Christ is arranging all things for their benefit. Lord's always doing that for you and I. He's arranging all things for our benefit. Why? Because He loves us. Christ, in His love, He knew the condition of their hearts. And He also knew what He would do. We see that in verse 11 and verse 14. The entire time that Lazarus was sick, even before the messengers of Martha and Mary came to Jesus in verse 3, Jesus knew everything that Lazarus was going through. And He loved him. He knew everything that Martha and Mary were going through. And He loved them. Martha, Lazarus was suffering. Martha and Mary were suffering. They weren't suffering the exact same thing. They were suffering differently. It's not a contest. So many times people will say, well, I believe it's harder for those who are watching the death of a loved one than the one going through it. It's not a contest, folks. It doesn't matter who it's harder for. All are suffering. But what's important is through it all is this love of Christ. And Christ knew exactly what He was going to do. He knew everything that Martha and Mary were going through, and He knew what He was going to do for them. Christ could have told them before the sickness ever came upon Lazarus, He could have secretly informed them, your brother will become sick, but don't worry about anything, everything's going to be okay. Had He told them that, they would have never sent message. They would have never sought Christ. He didn't tell them. Or He could have told them upon receiving word of the sickness, He could have said, your brother is going to die, and you will bury him. But don't worry. After 4 days, I will come and raise him from the dead. Christ could have told them that, but He didn't. And He didn't out of love for them, for their own benefit. He would not have them quit seeking Him. Why? Because He loved them. Don't ever call into question the love of the Lord. It was a love so great that He died upon the cross for you and I. Don't question His love when sickness and death come our way, we're never ever to question His love. We're never to doubt His love. Christ, in His great love for them, came in His own time. They told Him He abode still for 2 days. And He came in His own time, verse 17. And that's always so. That's always so. You and I ought to be glad that we have a Lord that we cannot dictate to. He wouldn't be much of a God if you and I could control Him. The hours and days passed. Jesus was not come. 4 days passed. Martha and Mary were suffering. And Jesus was not come. But we read in verse 17, then when Jesus came. And He came out of love in His own time. And He came to their place. He came, and as we said this morning, when He did, He made Himself accessible. Why did He make Himself accessible? Because He loved them. Because He loved them. Because He was interested in them. He made Himself accessible so He could help them, so He could bless them, so He could bring them joy and strength. He made Himself accessible because He wanted to see them. He wanted to hear them. He wanted to speak to them. And He wanted to do for them. That's why He came. But He also came because He wanted them to draw near unto Him. He wanted them to have the joy of seeing Him. He wanted them to have the joy of speaking to Him and hearing Him and experiencing Him. Oh, how Jesus loved Martha and Mary. Don't call into question His love. As we saw this morning, He came and He made Himself accessible. He provided them hope. In verse 23, Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. He's providing her hope. And the Lord still does that. He provides us hope all through this book because He loves us. He provides us hope in so many ways because He loves us. Verse 24, Martha showed that she had some theological knowledge. She said unto Him, I know that He shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus saith unto her, by the way, that's the second time we read those words, verse 23 and now verse 25, Jesus saith unto her. And He said, I am. Out of love, He unveiled Himself to her. And He further encouraged her in verses 26 and 27. Verse 28, as we saw this morning, He gives an invitation for Mary also to come. But both Martha and Mary found encouragement and peace in the presence of Jesus Christ. And it was all because Jesus loved them. As we saw this morning, Christ was compassionate. He was sympathetic. He was empathetic. Verse 33, 35, 38. And he did the miraculous in bringing Lazarus from the grave. So the foundation of all of this is verse 5. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. That brings us to our next point. This love that Christ had for them had a tremendous influence upon Martha and Mary. First of all, there was an awareness of his love for them. That is obvious from verse 5, or verse 3, I mean. He whom thou lovest is sick. They were aware of his love. They were certain of his love for them. His love for them was something that they had experienced in their lives. It was something they had felt, the power of his love. They had felt the fervency of his love. They had experienced the tenderness, the compassion, the long-suffering, the mercy, the devotion of his love. His love was very, very real to them. This was more than just a point of theology in their lives. They knew and they personally experienced Christ's love for them. Martha and Mary possessed a knowledge. They had a firm persuasion that Christ loved them. They were very cognizant of the fact of his love for them. And they lived in the reality of that love. They lived in the wonder of his love for them. And the assurance and the reality of his love for them was a force in their life. It was a power and a working influence in their life. They were aware of this fact. Jesus loves us. That's something good to be aware of. Secondly, we see the awareness of his love is what led them to send message to Christ. He whom thou lovest is sick. Why did they send word to Christ? Because they knew. There was no doubt in their mind. He's interested in us. He loves us. He would want to know. Now, Christ knew already, of course. But it was living in the reality of his love that caused them to seek Jesus Christ. You're not going to seek someone if you believe they hate you. But if you really know that someone loves you, you will seek them in time of need. And that is what they did. And all they said was, the message was, he whom thou lovest is sick. They left the matter entirely with him. And when you're absolutely sure of his love, you're absolutely sure that he's going to do what is best, you can leave the matter with him. You can just leave it with him. And that's what they did. They didn't ask him to come, though most certainly they expected him to. But all they said was, he whom thou lovest is sick. They knew his love, and they fully trusted that he would do what was best. We see also the awareness of his love drew them to Christ. You do not draw nigh to someone that you're not sure of. You draw nigh to someone that you're pretty certain has an interest and has a love for you. We read in verse 20, Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met Him. Not as a stranger, not as a mere acquaintance, but as her friend, as the lover of her soul. Martha went and met Him. She knew that He loved her, and she loved Him, and she was drawn to Him. The absolute certainty of His love for her drew her to Him. Still does today. Still does today. Notice also Mary, verse 28 and 29, as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto Him. She knew that He loved her, and she loved Him. And those two facts drew her to Christ. Knowing His love, she felt free and unashamed to fall at His feet, weeping and pouring out her heart to Him. You see in verse 32 where you see Mary at the feet of Christ, she'd been there before. We know from the Scriptures that she had worshipped there before. She had been taught there, taught from there before. She had received His blessings there before. She had received from Him before. And the assurance of His love for her and her love for Him drew her there again. And I don't believe this was the last time that she would be at the feet of Christ. I believe she was drawn there again and again and again. Because she knew He loves me. He cares. He's interested. And I love Him. And she was drawn to Christ. You see, drawing to Christ is not a labor, it's just something that happens. You know Christ loves you and you're just drawn there. You love Him and you're just drawn there. There's a force. This awareness of His love for them benefited them greatly. Jesus meant something to Martha that He did not mean to others. Again, in verse 20, we see that when she heard that Jesus was coming, how did she hear? Well, she's in this house. There's people there, friends and acquaintances that are trying to comfort. Obviously, someone in the house heard that Jesus was coming. And word got around. So there might have been several people that knew that Jesus was coming. But Mary went out and met Him. Or Martha went out and met Him. I don't believe that Mary knew He was coming at this point. But that's beside the point. Some of the others knew that He was coming. They didn't go out to meet Him. But Martha, when she knew He was coming, she went out and met Him. Because she knew, He loves me. And I love Him. So she went out and met Him because Jesus meant something to her that He did not mean to the others. That was also true of Mary. Mary also came unto him. And when those in the house saw that Mary was leaving, they assumed that she's going to the cemetery. She's going to go there and weep. We need to go there and be there for her. They had no concern that Jesus was coming. But Mary did. Because Mary knew that Jesus loved her, and therefore Jesus meant something to her that he didn't mean to the others. And that's always the case. And notice here, verse 20, Martha went and met him. And we read, Mary came unto him. In both cases, him is emphasized. Why did they leave that house? Why did Martha leave? Why did Mary leave? Him! He meant something to them. They were certain of his love. And they loved him. And he meant something to them. He was something special to them. You see also that both Martha and Mary stood where others did not stand. They enjoyed what others did not enjoy. Though the Jews followed Mary out, they didn't enjoy what Mary enjoyed. She had a special enjoyment. They weren't there at the feet weeping. It says they were weeping, but they weren't at his feet weeping. Because he didn't mean to them what he meant to her. And others, and Martha and Mary saw what others did not see. They saw something special in Jesus Christ. In fact, it's noted in verse 32 that Mary saw him. Well, it's obvious that she saw him. But that is added to show us it's something special. She saw him. And when we really are fully persuaded, he loves me, we will stand where others will never stand. And we will enjoy what others will never enjoy. And we will see what others will not see. So the application of all this for you and I is trials and difficulties and adversities and afflictions and will come into our lives. But they are never separate and apart from the love of Christ. Even when Christ sends these things to punish us, they are not separate and apart from the love of Christ. They never are. Never. We need to realize these things. And we can go through all of those things knowing the love of Christ. What a difference there is in someone who is sick and obviously dying, but they know the Lord loves me, and someone who doesn't know the Lord at all. What a difference. What a difference in those loved ones that stand by the bedside who know the Lord loves us. We're hurting, but the Lord loves us. And this is not separate and apart from His love. Never is for you and I, as children of God. All through this life, we're to be mindful of His love. We need to grasp it. We need to live in the awareness of the fact that Jesus Christ loves our soul. And that fills us with confidence in Him. And that draws us to Him. It causes us to unashamedly move in His direction. There's no shame in moving in the direction of Christ. When you know that He loves you and you love Him, you unashamedly move in the direction of Christ. To simply know His love is so beneficial in our lives. Martha and Mary knew, Lazarus did too, but Martha and Mary knew that Jesus loved them and it made a difference in their life, and it made a difference in this time of trial. It made a difference in who they sought. They sent message to Christ. I believe that was the first one they sent message to, perhaps the only one. But the fact that they knew that Christ loved them caused them to seek Jesus Christ. And I believe that love, knowing that love of Christ, sustained them. They suffered. They hurt. But they got through it. Knowing that Christ loves us, there's a sustaining power. There's a peace-giving power. No matter how bad it hurts, there's a peace that comes with knowing that He loves me. And it was an influential and motivational force in their life. And so it is with you and I. You know that somebody loves you, do anything for you, you don't want to hurt that person. You don't want to disappoint that person. You don't want to do something that would give a bad name to that person. And to know that Christ loves us is a motivational force in our life. We don't want to sin against Him. Not only because we love Him, but we know He loves us. And we don't want to sin against Him. It fills our hearts with jubilation and gratitude. It restrains us from self-seeking and doing that which is displeasing and contrary to Him. And knowing that Christ loves us will not leave us indifferent toward Him. Martha and Mary, nowhere in this account, are indifferent toward Christ. Nowhere. There was no indifference toward Christ. They couldn't be indifferent because they knew He loves us. He loves us. How can we possibly be indifferent to that? So I believe the foundation of everything that we read here in John 11 is that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And aren't you glad tonight that you can put your name in verse 5 as well? Amen. And to go from here knowing that is of tremendous benefit to you and I right now, and it will truly benefit us in time of trial. You know, many, when you're going through a trial, they will come and they'll wonder out loud, why is the Lord doing this? Why is the Lord letting you go through this? You've served God all these years, and why? And they're just kind of wondering out loud, perhaps. But we know He loves me. Amen. And I'm not going to call into question His love or His goodness. I don't have to understand the whys. All I need to know is He loves me. And all through whatever it is that we're going through, we can know He loves me. He loves me. What a wonderful thing to know. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song.